Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, August 18th, 2014. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Oregon officials reject Australian company's coal terminal plan for Boardman. Hundreds of thousands of dollars to be spent on Washington gun initiatives. Avista proposes electricity and natural gas power rate increases for Washington customers. Moscow school board to look at delaying classes tonight because of construction holdups. And Pullman School District sends out failing school letters. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Oregon State Land Department announced today it has rejected a proposal from the multinational coal company Amber Energy to build a coal terminal on the Columbia River at Boardman. The Amber Energy Terminal would have received coal by rail from eastern Montana and northern Wyoming's Powder River Coal Basin and transferred it to barge for shipment to ocean-going ships downriver. The Land Department said the terminal, which would be built by the Australian company, would interfere with an important and long-standing fishery on the Columbia River. Avista is proposing increasing residential electricity rates in Washington by 2.6% this winter, increasing the average electricity bill by $2.10 per month. The Spokesman Review website reports the utility is also proposing increasing natural gas rates by 5.9%, including the monthly basic charge for natural gas increasing from $8 to $9. Avista says it wants to use the $7 million more that would come from electricity ratepayers and $8.5 million more that would come from natural gas ratepayers to expand and replace equipment, facilities, and older delivery systems. The new rates were the result of negotiations with state regulators. The Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission would still need to approve the new rates. There will be two public hearings on the new rates next week. The increases are lower than the rate increases proposed by Avista in February. Avista President Dennis Vermillion said in a statement, "The agreement is the result of concessions and compromises by all parties on a number of issues to arrive at an outcome that is supported by all parties. It supports Avista's efforts to continue to make key capital investments in our utility infrastructure, as well as recover the operating costs of serving our customers." An analysis of primary election results by the Spokesman Review indicates Republicans will probably take control of the state Senate in Washington in November's election. Based on the number of primaries where the incumbent had 55% of the vote or less, the paper identified key Senate races in the Evergreen State. In Washington, senators have four-year staggered terms, and only 25 seats are up for election this year. There are 49 seats in the state Senate. Of those, Democratic incumbents are running unopposed in two races, and three races have two Democrats remaining in the race after the August 5th primary eliminated all other candidates. There are two Senate races with two Republicans running against each other in November. The paper reports one of two close races will be the 6th District in Spokane, where incumbent Republican Mike Baumgartner is facing challenger Rich Cohen. Another key race will be the re-election effort by conservative Democrat Tim Sheldon, who crossed the aisle with one other Democratic senator to join a Republican-controlled coalition to control the Senate. Democratic challenger Iron Bowling had more votes in the primary in the South Puget Sound district, but Sheldon could pick up votes in November from supporters of a third candidate in the race, Republican Travis Kutter. Kutter came in a close third. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife says one or more wolves in the Huckleberry Pack killed 14 sheep in southern Stevens County last week. The attacks over 2 days, Monday and Tuesday last week, were on private land 2 miles north of the Spokane Indian Reservation boundary. It was the first livestock loss this year in Washington due to wolf predation. The Fish and Wildlife Department says it is working with the owners of the sheep to move their grazing allotment. The sheep were among 1,800 who were grazing on land owned by Hancock Timber Company. Montana Democrats chose relative political newcomer State Representative Amanda Curtis of Butte to take on Republican Steve Daines in the November U.S. Senate election after incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator John Walsh dropped out of the race after a report in the New York Times accused him of plagiarism when he wrote a research paper for the Army War College. Curtis is a first-term lawmaker in the Montana House and a school teacher. Democratic Party Chair Jim Larson called Curtis a force to be reckoned with. As a teacher, Curtis has a unique insight into what matters most to Montana families, unquote. Montana State University political science professor David Parker told the Los Angeles Times, it's nearly impossible for her to beat Daines, just like it was difficult for Walsh. She's known in Butte, but in political circles around the state, she is not a household name. She's essentially the party's scapegoat this fall. The 926,000-pound megalode carrying a hydrocracker unit to a Montana refinery was scheduled to move across the state line into Montana early this morning after being parked along Highway 200 near Hope, Idaho all weekend. Montana does not let megaloads move on their highways on Saturdays and Sundays. The megalode, which is part of an oil refinery hydrocracker unit, is the heaviest load to ever travel on U.S. Highway 95, and it's on its way to the Calumet refinery in Great Falls. The hauling company in this case is Biggie Crane and Rigging, based in California. About 25 people in Sandpoint protested the passage of the megalode in the early morning hours Friday. The Idaho Transportation Department travel permit for the refinery component heading to Great Falls says the load and its transport weighs 926,000 pounds when traveling on level ground, and it weighs 1,086,000 pounds when traveling with additional push and pull trucks on hills. Online industry websites indicate the Calumet refinery exclusively processes crude oil from the Alberta tar sands. The Coeur d'Alene tribe allowed the megalode to travel through its land last week on U.S. Highway 95, but said they were concerned the Idaho Transportation Department did not consult with them, and they were also concerned about the Lake Coeur d'Alene watershed. Coeur d'Alene tribe spokesperson Heather Keene told the Coeur d'Alene Press the tribe's concerns revolve mostly around traffic and safety on the reservation and protecting the lake and streams in the region. The tribe has worked hard and invested a lot in cleaning up the lake and the basin, so we want to protect it. The Pullman School District last week mailed letters to the parents of students at three elementary schools saying their children's schools are failing under the federal No Child Left Behind law. The letters are required by federal law, but Pullman school officials say the federal standards are unreasonably difficult to meet. Pullman School District Assistant Superintendent Bob Maxwell told the Daily News, I am not aware of any district or school in Washington State that had 100% of their students meet standards in both reading and math on the state assessment. The Washington legislature this year refused to tie standardized test scores to teacher evaluations, and in response, the U.S. Department of Education withdrew Washington's exemptions to the No Child Left Behind law, making Washington the first state in the nation to have its exemptions removed. Without the exemptions, school districts around the state must send out the failing school letters. Some school districts have opted to send out a letter saying the failing grades for the schools are not as bad as they seem, although the Pullman School District is only sending out the one required letter. The Moscow School Board will hold a special meeting tonight at the Moscow High School Auditorium, at which Superintendent Greg Bailey will propose delaying the first day of school by 1 or 2 weeks due to delays in various remodeling and construction projects around the district. Crews are remodeling the Bear Den at the middle school, putting new roofs on West Park Elementary School, the high school, and the middle school, new windows at Lena Whitmore Elementary School, the high school, and West Park Elementary, and a new boiler at McDonald Elementary, new restrooms at various schools in the district, and new asphalt and electrical security technology and other upgrades throughout the district. As of late last week, Bailey said construction foremen told him they think they will be done in time for the scheduled first day of school next week, but school officials didn't believe the work would be done in time. Tonight's special Moscow School District Board of Trustees meeting will start at 6:30 p.m. at the Moscow High School Auditorium on 3rd Street. An Idaho Department of Education report shows Idaho's high school juniors' math and reading scores on the SAT test were up slightly from last year, although less than half of the 17,000 students taking the test scored at least 500 out of a possible 800 points in math, reading, and writing. A score of 500 or better is considered to be college ready. 36% of students scored about 500 in math, up from 32% last year. Test results show 38% of students college-ready in critical reading. Writing scores on the SAT dropped, with 26% scoring about 500 in 2014, down from 31% in 2013. Three-term U.S. Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho announced Friday he will seek re-election in November 2016. The 63-year-old Republican is ranked 39th in seniority in the U.S. Senate and is the ranking member on the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee. Crapo also serves on the Budget and Environment, Public Works, Indian Affairs, and Finance Committees. After a four-year investigation, the U.S. Justice Department will not file charges stemming from an April 2010 Tesoro Corporation refinery explosion in Anacortes, Washington, that killed seven workers. Prosecutors said none of the factors leading to the explosion reached the, quote, exacting bar, unquote, for criminal violation of environmental or worker safety laws. David Benninger, a lawyer representing the families of those killed in the explosion, told the Associated Press the families were not surprised by the Justice Department decision. The U.S. Chemical Safety Board completed its investigation of the blast last May, saying the refinery's safety culture, industry standards, and patterns of federal oversight combined to cause the catastrophic failure of a heat exchanger that caused the explosion. The Moscow City Council tonight will hold a public hearing on the city's proposed $60 million fiscal year 2015 budget. The budget would increase by 11%. Under the proposed budget, local property taxes would increase by 11%. The state allows municipalities to increase their budgets by an average of 3% per year. The 11% increase is allowed under state law because there were recent years when the city opted not to increase its budget by the full 3% allowed by law, allowing the city to use what are called foregone tax increases to balance the budget. The council had finished the proposed budget August 4th, but the proposed budget has since been amended, increasing the matching funds for the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport runway project by $216,000. The council will also hold a public hearing on the city's fee structure for fiscal year 2015. Under state law, municipal governments must hold a public hearing on any proposed fee increase of 5% or more. Those who speak at the public hearing can comment on planned increases to land use, development, engineering, document, water, sewer sanitation, taxicab license, second-hand pawn dealer license, fiber optic service, euthanasia, vanpool, and art class fees. The City Council will also be asked to approve an ordinance written by City Attorney Rod Hall to standardize the license renewal processes for peddlers, solicitors, canvassers, second-hand dealers, pawnbrokers, and vendors. The council will also be asked to allocate $5,330 to develop a cyclocross course on West Palouse River Drive. Cyclocross courses are for non-motorized mountain bikes and use natural terrain and added obstacles. The Parks and Recreation Department estimates it will cost $4,700 to develop the course, with annual operating costs of $880. The Moscow City Council will meet tonight at 7 p.m. at City Hall. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Fire crews were scheduled to begin a burnout operation today near the confluence of the Selway and Clearwater Rivers as they continue to battle the 7,000-acre Johnson Bar Fire, which was sparked by a lightning strike near Syringa 2 weeks ago. The fire is burning in a steep, heavily fueled area. Roads, trails, and campgrounds along the Selway River corridor remain closed, although Highway 12 is open. Residents have been advised they might be told to evacuate at any moment. Nez Perce Clearwater National Forest Information Officer Pat McKelvey told the Lewiston Tribune fire managers have been fortunate. No structures are threatened at this point, and the hot, dry weather conditions have lessened somewhat. The National Interagency Fire Center reports hobbyists are barred from flying unauthorized drones near wildfires, and doing so could cause fire managers to suspend aerial fire suppression efforts because of the danger of mid-air collisions with aircraft, dropping water or retardant. Three drone incidents occurred in June and July. One of those was on the Carlton Complex fire near Twisp, Washington, and the others were in Oregon and in Northern California. National Interagency Fire Center spokesperson Randy Eardley said the unauthorized drones were likely built from kits and were taking photographs or gathering data. Money has begun to pour in to support both of two competing Washington gun initiatives, which some political observers expect to be among the nation's most expensive initiative campaigns in November. Initiative 594, which would require background checks for most gun purchases in the state, has raised $3.4 million, with $500,000 coming from former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer and his wife Connie. Venture capitalist Nick Hanauer has given nearly $500,000 and pledged an additional $500,000. Bill and Melinda Gates have donated $50,000 to the campaign so far. The competing measure is Initiative 591, which would restrict the state from passing background check laws for gun ownership that are more stringent than federal laws. That initiative has raised just over $1 million. $850,000 of that money was donated by the Renton-based Washington Arms Collectors Group. The National Rifle Association has raised $25,000 through a special political committee called the National Rifle Association of America Washingtonians Opposed to I-594, and reports having spent $17,500 so far. University of Washington political science professor Matt Barreto told the Associated Press TV viewers will be flooded with conflicting messages. Barreto said it's going to be harder for the voters to keep them straight when there's more than one initiative on an issue. It can lead to a lot of misinformation. Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms Chair Alan Gottlieb told the Associated Press unless the National Rifle Association steps in with more support soon, the campaign will have an uphill battle. Gottlieb said whoever gets to frame the issue usually wins, and right now the other side has the money to frame the issue. Independent pollster Stuart Elway reports I-594, the initiative expanding the background checks, has a 70% approval rating among voters. Meanwhile, 46% of voters support I-591. A third of the voters in the survey said they would vote for both initiatives. If both initiatives were to pass, the legislature could pass a measure to resolve the conflicting measures, or the matter could go to the courts. Whitman County Environmental Health Director Michael Baker attributes a die-off of over 2,000 fish in the Palouse River to a lack of oxygen in the water. Baker told the Lewiston Tribune the fish, which accumulated upstream from where the river enters a concrete bed near Schmuck Park in Colfax, do not present a public health hazard. Baker said the kinds of die-offs are not uncommon in small lakes and rivers when a run of hot, sunny weather is followed by several cloudy days. The hot weather encourages algae buildup, and the algae consume oxygen in the water, and the lowest oxygen levels occur just before dawn. Then cloudy weather reduces photosynthesis and delays reoxygenation. Water samples tested negative for toxins produced by algae, but Baker warned that could change quickly, so people are advised not to drink river water or eat fish and not to swim in areas where there is a visible algae or scum. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take you a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. It'll be fair tonight with a low of 59, mostly sunny Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, with highs tomorrow 85, 81 Wednesday, and 77 on Thursday. Partly cloudy Tuesday night and Wednesday night, low 56 Tuesday night, 51 Wednesday night. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, we have fair skies. And the temperature is 89 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843, or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robardis. Nancy Casey assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Eat the airwaves, news and opinions from the West Side coming up next. Flashpoints after that. And then live in the studios, Climate Justice Forum at 7:30, KRFP Moscow Pullman.